It's Titus and Lucas. All right, we'll start with Lucas first. And little is known about Luke, the author of the books of Luke and the Acts of the Bible. We do know that he was a physician and the only Gentile to write any part of the New Testament. Paul's letter to the Colossians draws a distinction between Luke and other colleagues of the circumcision, meaning the Jews. Luke is the only New Testament writer clearly identifiable as a non-Jew. He was the author of the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. Luke does not name himself in either of his books, but Paul mentions him by name in three epistles. Both Luke and Acts are addressed to the same person, Theophilus, in Luke 1 and 3 and Acts 1 and 1. No one knows exactly who Theophilus is or was, but we know that Luke's purpose in writing the two companion books was so that Theophilus would know with certainty the person and work of Jesus Christ. Perhaps Theophilus had already received the basic of the Christian doctrine, but had not as yet been completely grounded in them. Luke was a close friend of Paul, who referred to him as the beloved physician, as Colossians 4 and 14. But Luke's interest in medicine is the reason his gospel gives such a high profile to Jesus' acts of healing. Paul also refers to Luke as a fellow laborer in Philemon 1 and 24. And Luke joined Paul in Troas, in Asia Minor, during Paul's second missionary journey. And some scholars speculate that Luke was the man of Macedonia whom Paul saw in his dream, Acts 16 and 9. It's speculation. Luke was left in Philippi during the second missionary journey and picked up again to travel with Paul in the third journey. He accompanied Paul on his journey to Jerusalem and Rome and was with him during his imprisonment there. Luke's vivid description of his travels with Paul in Acts 27 seemed to indicate that he was well-traveled and well-versed in navigation. This doing this study about Luke, and I think we should do a separate study, I don't think we ever did, about Luke itself, the book and whatever, because it's amazing. Scholars have noted that Luke had an outstanding command of the Greek language. His vocabulary is extensive and rich, and his style at times approaches that of classical Greek, as in the preface of his Gospel, Luke 1, 1 through 4. While at other times it seems quite Semitic, in Luke 1 and 5 and 2 to 52. He was familiar with sailing and had such a special love for recording geographical details. All this would indicate that he was a well-educated, observant, and careful writer. Now, what would the New Testament be like without the contributions of Luke, the beloved physician? Most do not realize that he penned almost as much of the New Testament as the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote more epistles, 14 in all, but Luke wrote nearly as many words in his two books, in Acts and the Gospel of Luke. Ironically, Luke is mentioned only three times by name. And each of those times was by the Apostle Paul. He never mentions his own name in his gospel account, in which he does not appear, or in Acts, in which he plays a major role. The other gospels were written by eyewitnesses Matthew, Mark, and John to the events they record. Luke admits in the first verses of his account that he was not an eyewitness of the life of Christ, but carefully records what eyewitnesses reported to him and others. We actually know very little about Luke the man, and that just adds to the fascination about this great and humble person. He no doubt wanted it that way, and every indication we have suggests he shunned the spotlight. In his view, what he wrote was never about him, but about Christ or what Christ did through others. Even though the Bible says little about Luke directly, we can put together a few pieces of the puzzle and assemble a fascinating portrait of this great writer and Christian. Just as we do today with common practice in the apostolic days to shorten names, Luke or Lucas, which I never really thought about, is an abbreviation of the Gentile name Lucanus, and it means white. Though it's not certain, some scholars believe that he and Titus were brothers, based on 2 Corinthians 8:18. Again, that's speculation. Doing a lot of research and checking, it's nothing that really proves it, like to be your brother in Christ, but not brother, blood brother. So little is known about him that no one can positively state where he made his home, but most scholars feel it was in Philippi. And just as a note, 2 Corinthians was written from Philippi, a city of Macedonia, by Titus and Lucas. In the biblical narrative, Luke appears suddenly, but unobtrusively among Paul's companions in Troas, and is written in such a way that the language changes from the third person singular, he, speaking of Paul alone, to the first person plural, we, when Luke joins in after he met Paul in Troas, possibly for the first time. In Colossians 4:9-14, Luke is not included among those of the circumcision, verse 11. But along with Epaphras and Demas, forms a group of Gentiles who assisted Paul in his travels and work. Many early Christian writers assert that Luke was converted directly from paganism, though others thought him to be a convert to Judaism, a Jewish proselyte. We can also learn something about people by their writing styles. And Luke is clearly a highly educated individual. As a physician, he would have studied a great deal more than medicine, including philosophy and classical literature. Bible commentators report Luke has the best command of the Greek language of any New Testament writer, and only the Greek in the book of Hebrews approaches the quality of Luke's writing. Again, commentators call the Gospel of Luke a work of high literary quality, Unger's Bible Dictionary, and one scholar viewed Luke's Gospel as the most beautiful book that has ever been written. The subject matter, as well as the author's literary talent, combined to give the book an interesting appeal and polish conspicuous in the New Testament. So we know he's the beloved physician. His immediate service to God's people comes as Paul's personal beloved physician. Remember, Paul frequently needed a doctor's ministrations. After all, even Jesus said that the sick needed a physician in Luke 5:31. According to his own testimony in 2 Corinthians, Paul relates how often he was beaten, whipped, above measure, and or in prison. And we know this part very well. He goes on to say that he was once stoned and left for dead. He could also add to his list being shipwrecked 3 times and Paul's consequent exposure. One time he spent a whole night and a day trying not to drown in 2 Corinthians. No doubt Luke's trained hands and caring presence helped Paul recover from many of these severe beatings, open wounds, and infections. So when we think we're going through a lot, just remember our brother Paul. No wonder Paul calls Luke the beloved physician. Certainly God used Luke to help prolong Paul's life and even perhaps help him recover from the serious illnesses. Luke may have attended to Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12 and his illnesses while among the Galatians. Luke's later years are spent in Paul's company away from Philippi, on the way to Jerusalem, at Caesarea during the voyage to Rome, and of course in Rome itself. He was with Paul in Rome as he writes Colossians and Philemon. Luke is not only a physician to Paul, but he also becomes his personal assistant and secretary. We also know that during Paul's second Roman imprisonment, Luke is Paul's sole companion for a time. And we see what Paul asked Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 12. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. This is the last letter of Paul that we have any record of today, and it's probably his last. He is always being poured out as a drink offering. He could have felt totally abandoned by his human friends except for Luke's presence. His devotion to Paul during his dangerous time is nothing short of beautiful and inspiring. Paul, though deeply perverted man of faith, is also human and appreciates having a companion who never gives up and never leaves him. Luke is truly a godsend for Paul in his darkest hours before his execution. So we're seeing a lot here about Paul's character, or Luke's character. He's compassionate and doing everything to help. In his rare spare moments, Luke assembles the stories he hears repeatedly about Christ and writes his own gospel account as well as the Acts of the Apostles later. It's possible that Luke pens his gospel during Paul's imprisonment in Caesarea. And commentators describe his writing as painting with word pictures. Some have even speculated that Luke could have been an artist, as his writing is so vivid, so colorful, so fluid. So we're finding out a lot of these things about Luke. As mentioned earlier, he never mentions himself by name, even once in Acts. We find that with other writers that do that. Obviously, he was a witness to many of the events. The closest he comes to say we in several places. And these sections have vivid descriptions only an eyewitness could portray. And those are in Acts 16, 20, and 21. We see medical detail in Luke's writings. In Acts 28 and 8, he reports that Publius's father lay sick of a fever and dysentery. This physician also humbly records in Luke 8 and 43 that no physician could heal the woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. What does he do in this case? He shines the spotlight on the true healer, our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke's focus in his gospel account is on Christ, the man. This approach contrasts with Matthew's emphasis on Christ, the king, Mark's on Christ, the servant, and John's on Christ, the Son of God. As a Gentile, Luke's great appreciation for Jesus' sacrifice for all men, Jew and Gentile alike, comes out in his depiction of the life of Christ. He's not just the savior of the sons of Abraham, but all the sons of Adam. Along with Matthew, Luke commonly uses the term Son of Man in reference to Jesus. He provides detailed accounts of Christ's birth, infancy, and childhood to illustrate that he was born, grew, and matured like any other human. He shows Jesus doing the things the rest of humanity does all the time, learning, eating, sleeping, weeping, and giving comfort. Even his parables, as described by Luke, have a very human touch. Many feel Luke's gospel account is the most interesting one to read as he focuses on the needy and troubled people as they come in contact with Christ, the man. Luke chronicles events not found in any of the gospel accounts. For example, Luke records 5 great exclamations of Elizabeth's thanksgiving, Mary's joyous praise of God, Zechariah's exuberant prophecy, and the angel's annunciation of Christ's birth to the shepherds, and Simeon's verse of appreciation for living to see the Messiah. As Merrill Unger writes, Luke's gospel is emphatically good news of great joy. And from all this, we know that Luke is a humble Gentile, to know and love his Savior immediately, intimately. He finds it an honor to serve a great apostle, Paul, and prefers to keep the spotlight on others and off himself. We find him unafraid in his devotion to stand by Paul when others are getting out while they can. Evident in his writings is a constant awareness of God's providence for his servants. an awareness that reveals itself in his stories that show God's care and love for the sick and needy. He's a great gospel writer, for he knows his subject, the Christ, in a very personal way, though he never had the opportunity to meet him firsthand. Nonetheless, his stories are full of vivid details, evidence of his drive to allow the reader to be able to experience rather than merely read. He wants his readers to come to know the Savior just as deeply as he has. No one knows for sure how his life ended. We know he was not martyred with Paul in Rome, since he wrote the book of Acts long after that terrible moment. And no one knows whether he was martyred later or died a natural death. Regardless, Luke's work lives on, inspiring us today, and thank God for him, the beloved physician. All right, that's about Luke. But yeah, any questions or comments? Wait till later. Anything? Right? Okay. Titus was an ecclesial leader, a trusted companion of the Apostle Paul, and a faithful servant of the Lord. He was a Gentile in Galatians 2:20, who was led to faith in Christ by Paul. He became a co-worker with Paul, accompanying him and Barnabas from Antioch to Jerusalem. Titus is included in the other believers of Acts 15 and 2. And at the Jerusalem Council, Titus would have been a prime example of a born-again Gentile, Christian. Thus was living proof that the rite of circumcision was unnecessary for salvation. Later, Titus went to Corinth to serve the ecclesia there. And on Paul's third missionary journey, which took place from AD 53 to 57, he arrived in Troas and expected to meet Titus there. Not finding his friend, Paul left for Macedonia. And Titus rejoined Paul in Philippi and gave him a good report of the ministry in Corinth. When Titus returned to Corinth, he had delivered the epistle of 2 Corinthians and organized a collection for the needy saints in Jerusalem. Several years later, Titus and Paul traveled to the island of Crete, where Titus was left behind to continue and strengthen the work. Titus's task was administrative mostly. He was to maintain sound doctrine and straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town. When Artemis and Tychicus arrived in Crete to direct the ministry, Paul summoned Titus to join him in Nicopolis, a city in the province of Achaia in western Greece. The last mention of Titus in the Bible indicates that he was with Paul during Paul's final Roman imprisonment. From Rome, Titus was sent to preach in Dalmatia, an area which later became known as Yugoslavia and is now called Serbia and Montenegro. As a Gentile Christian, Titus would have been particularly effective in combating the heresy of the Judaizers. They honed in on the circumcision. Gentiles must be circumcised, they said, in order to truly be saved. Titus knew this teaching well, for the subject had come up in Syrian Antioch, leading to the Jerusalem Council of which he had become a part. He was a faithful servant of the Lord and a dedicated aide to Paul. He must have been trustworthy and dependable, since Paul appointed him to lead works in Corinth, Crete, and Dalmatia. Indeed, Paul calls him my partner and fellow worker. And knowing the difficult situations in both Corinth and Crete, we can infer that Titus was an insightful man who could handle problems with grace . Scripture said that Titus had a God-given love for the Corinthian believers. In fact, in returning to Corinth, Titus went with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. So we can see a lot about Titus's character. And may we have the same zeal for the Lord that this was showed. Every believer would do well to model Titus's commitment to the truth. fervor in spreading the gospel, and enthusiastic love, the ecclesia. And that's it.